Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Welcome, Freedom Seekers, to another Luggage and Laptop Show. My name is Monica, and I'll be your host today. And if you'd like to join the conversation, the number to call is 646-716-7979. Now, today's show is all about mindsets. First, let's define what mindset is. I've got my little definition here, and I'll read it out to you. Simply put, a mindset is a set of ideas and attitudes that shape the way you think about yourself and the world. Your mindset will determine the way you behave, your outlook on life, and your attitude towards everything that's going on around you. And the thing is, we all struggle with having the right set sometimes, or even positive attitude when trying to build a location-independent lifestyle. Why? Limiting beliefs, negative thinking, and no support from people around us. All these things can bring us down and have a massive impact on our mindset. But we can change all this today with my amazing guest. Her name is Kelly Fryer, and she's been a mindset coach and a psychologist for over 18 years. She's helped hundreds of people shift their mindset so they can lead a happier, healthier, and wealthier life. She uses tools and techniques from hypnotherapy, psychotherapy, NLP, and neuroscience, as well as her own research. And now, here is the amazing Kelly.
Hi, Monica.
Hi, Kelly. Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on the show.
And how is your evening? I know that it's very, very late where you are. And
it
you
is.
Stayed
I'm
up
in the
just
UK.
To have a
yes,
chat
it's midnight.
With us.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
Tell me, where in the world are you? And what does your location-independent lifestyle look like?
So I'm in the UK. I'm in a city called Peterborough. So I suppose for those of you that don't know the UK particularly well, it's about 90 miles north of London. So very dark and cold here at the moment. It's been wet and rainy all day today, but making the most of getting as much work done as possible. I think in terms of location independent lifestyle and what that looks like, I'm extremely lucky to be able to work with the majority of my clients really over phone or over Skype. And I also have a number of online programs. So in being able to, I suppose, utilize as much technology as possible means that I'm not necessarily honed into any one location. I'm able to work with clients really globally, which is absolutely fantastic.
Excellent. And tell me, how did you begin your journey into studying psychology and the brain?
Years ago, really. I suppose ever since I was a child, had a really, really strong interest in firstly developing and supporting people. And then going on from that, a real interest in kind of what makes people tick. So what makes us act the way we do, what makes us think the way we do. And when I started my career in HR, really what I wanted to do was create better workplaces for people, because I think what I was noticing is there was this kind of Monday to Friday type of dying going on where, you know, Sunday you don't want to go to work on the Monday. Monday, it's Monday and it's just, you know, the worst day of the week. Tuesday is just Tuesday. Wednesday you get to work and realize that you better get some work done because it's the middle of the week. Thursday it's nearly Friday, and Friday it's kind of woohoo, it's the weekend. And I really wanted to kind of change that. And I think with a lot of the development that I was doing and changing the mindset of a lot of managers and leaders within the businesses was fantastic. But I wanted to take that one step further. And I think by studying my psychology degree, that gave me an enormous insight into, I suppose, further mindset, further thinking, looking at lots of science and lots of research, which was amazing. But I think where I started to get a real glimpse of into, you know, a bit more into how the brain works and how it influences all of our behaviours, how we feel, was actually when I studied my hypnotherapy qualification. The amount of neuroscience that was covered in there, so kind of how the brain works and why we feel the way we do, was just absolutely fascinating. And that's allowed me really to take my clients to another level and get them moving much more quickly in order to make the changes that they want to make across their lives, really.
Excellent. We talk a lot about psychology and mindset, and the latest thing has been neuroplasticity. And can you just touch on that topic, neuroplasticity?
Yeah, I think it's, well, where to start with that one? It's a big topic. I think there are lots of, how would I describe that? I think there are lots of different ways of looking at it. And I think a particular part of me is about learning physically about the changes in the brain. And I think with all of the research and everything that has been done really up to now, we do think that we only know about 3% of what the brain is capable of.
Right.
And I think when we look at sort of the neuroplasticity, the brain is really kind of ever changing. It is able to grow and create. It's really about, I'm trying to put it in kind of simple terms, really. But we have what we call kind of electrochemical pathways that go across the brain. And what neuroscientists and you know, researchers have been able to find is that we can retune those pathways, recreate new patterns and recreate new behaviours, probably as simply as I can put it without all of the kind of technical jargon.
Excellent. And tell me, what led you to become a mindset coach? Why did you switch your big HR job to work with small businesses and help them with their mindset and, you know, to create a better lifestyle and a better business?
Yeah, again, I think as you kind of outlined in your introduction, so mindset really is all about our beliefs, and it's beliefs about ourselves and really about our kind of most basic qualities. So it's about things like our intelligence, our talents and our personalities. And what I was finding with a lot of the corporate clients that I was working with, particularly, I suppose, with the title of an executive coach or even when I was working as an HR director, many of the people that I was working with were very, very focused on the corporate aspects of what they were doing and their job in particular. And I actually had a number of clients that were apologizing if they started to talk about personal aspects of their lives, which I found quite odd, I suppose, in some ways. I've got a great belief that as people, we are a whole, and while sometimes we need to behave slightly differently in different situations, we are an entire person. And I think if we believe that our personal lives or, you know, our home lives don't impact on the work that we do, then I think, you know, we've got a bit of a flaw there. But I really started to get, there were lots of commonalities between all of the clients that I was working with, and mindset and how we see ourselves. So kind of, you know, our self-limiting beliefs, a lack of self-confidence was becoming more and more apparent and more common with all of the clients really that I was working with. So again, I took all of the, I suppose, the tools of the trade that I'd learned and developed over the last sort of 18 years and most recently with sort of the hypnotherapy and psychotherapy, and just focused much more on mindset. And it really is about getting people to change their thinking. I think Christine Neff sums it up brilliantly in her book, where she talks about self-compassion and how we need to respect and love ourselves more before we can then sort of go out and do whatever it is that we need to do in our lives and on our journey. And I think that's a really important part of it. So for me, it really is about removing or at least decreasing those self-limiting beliefs and allowing us to use our internal resources again, I believe that we all have the resources within us to develop where we need to go. But sometimes it's just about, I suppose what I do is helping people unlock, I suppose what I call unlocking their potential. And by doing that, they do that a lot through mindset. And that's really, I think, what makes me tick at the moment. And as I say, I just get great results with the clients that I work with.
This is great, Kelly. Now, I have another question for you. I meet a lot of people who absolutely hate their 9-to-5 jobs and the long commute and the fact that the only day they have to cram everything in is Saturday, and they want their freedom. And but they're so afraid to do something about it, and they want to have a better lifestyle, and they want to be location independent, but something is stopping them from believing they can do that. Let's talk about limiting beliefs and what stops people from changing their lives.
So I think self-limiting beliefs can come from a number of aspects, really, whether it's something that we've experienced through childhood. Maybe we've been told that we're not good enough. Maybe we've been told that we're not strong enough, we're not confident enough, or that we just don't have the skills and knowledge to be able to take things forward. So I think that's always a good place to sort of start and explore. I think some of it is also to do at the moment with what I call comparison syndrome. So I think with the introduction, and it's now a fundamental part of our lives, really, but looking at the social media. And I think when we start to see the lifestyles of others or the jobs that they have or all of those sorts of things, actually that makes us start to feel that we're not good enough or we're not important enough. And actually just by being ordinary, that's not enough for us in our lives anymore. And I think that also plays a really significant part in those self-limiting beliefs, because we're constantly looking at others and comparing ourselves to others. And social media really forms a stream of us in every part of our lives now, more or less every day. I think when it comes to moving out of a job, I very much, when I started my business, actually I never imagined that I would be, I suppose, running my own business, let alone two. I always imagined that I would be, I suppose, an HR director until the day I retired. But it was actually part of my coaching training. And one of the questions that we asked actually went very, very deep and intense was a question, who am I or who are you? And we were asked the question over and over and over again. And I think we start, all of us really on the course, started with, you know, my name is Kelly, this is how old I am, this is where I live, this is my children, this is what I do for a job. But what we found is the deeper that we went with that question, that was the first time that I'd ever heard myself say that I wanted to run my own business. But I think, like many others, I had that self-limiting belief of I couldn't do it. I needed to rely on my salary. I was, you know, at the time I was the main breadwinner in the house, and I absolutely did not believe that I could quit the job, quit the salary that I was on, which was an extremely good salary at the time, and still be able to support my family. And again, I think by getting a coach, working with the people that I worked with, and just having the very, very strong intent that this is what I wanted to do, I started off by setting myself a 2-year goal of I'll save myself enough money and do it in two years time. But actually the intent that I had, and I think once I'd kind of put that out there, I just needed to do it. And actually within 4 months I had started my own business, was working with clients, had handed my notice in, and was, you know, sort of the consultancy started from there, really. So I think I would just say, do it, explore where those self-limiting beliefs are coming from, and just go for it.
Yes, yes. And Kelly, you're currently running two separate businesses.
I am indeed.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about both of them?
Yeah, sure. So the first business that I started is called Chrysalis Consulting, and we focus within that, still the majority of it in corporate space and with large organisations. And there we work on consultancy, the sort of people management consultancy, development specifically with board level employees, heads of service and directors, And then we've got the coaching side. So that's fundamentally the consultancy, the coaching and the development. And then my second business is actually called Kelly Fryer. And that's really within that. That's where I do all of my mindset coaching, my online programs and my hypnotherapy. But again, I think when I started the consultancy, lots of consultants that I knew had started their businesses in their own name. And I think, again, because of, although I'd always been very confident, I developed and got, you know, when I was an HR director over 7 years, I'd received 8 promotions. So I was capable, and to a level I knew I was capable, but actually stepping out into being self-employed, if you like, and setting up a business was something yep. that I didn't necessarily think I could do. Although I wanted to do it and I knew I would get there eventually, I think by starting Chrysalis Consulting, I was able to, for a short while, I suppose, hide behind the name. And it wasn't all about me and what I was able to do to help people. But again, I think as I've grown in confidence, and I think it's an ongoing journey, but as I've continued to grow in confidence and manage my mindset more effectively, lots of things that I had hidden in a drawer of things that I wanted to do to be able to help people actually have very quickly formed the Kelly Fryer brand and allowed me to work with different people from very different backgrounds, and a lot of them outside of the corporate space, which again is just fantastic.
Excellent. Now, Kelly, another big issue with building any type of business is positive thinking. And mm-hmm. that's especially the case with trying to build a lifestyle business, because having a lifestyle business is kind of a new concept and people mm-hmm. still don't understand what we're all about. So I think the things don't always go our way. And sometimes we have to take 2 steps backwards before we make another one forward.
Mm-hmm.
And this can have an enormous impact on our positive thinking. And that's when those dark thoughts of going back to the rat race and having a steady paycheck come. Now, how deal with those thoughts that impact our positive thinking?
Again, I think there's a number of different ways to do that. I think the first thing is really to recognize that we can all have, regardless of actually whether things are going extremely smoothly or whether we hit a bit of a bump in the road, the first thing really to recognise is that we all go through that. And by recognising that, I think we are much more able to stop beating ourselves up and think that we're the only people that have ever experienced this. So that would kind of be my first step, really. I then think moving forwards, if you are considering going back into a job, I would, whatever that may be, whatever career or company you've come from, I would just start by thinking about the reasons that you left and the reasons that you wanted to start your own business in the first place. Because I think by going back to that and gaining a bit more clarity as to why you made the decision to not be there in the first place, there's a lot sitting there. You know, it may have been you wanted more freedom. You know, you may have wanted more time at home. Maybe you weren't having time for your hobbies. Maybe you were too stressed in the job that you had and just needed to get out of it. Maybe you'd just come to a point in your personal circumstances or even your career where you just needed a change. And I think going back to why did I make that decision in the first place is also really, really important. Because actually, whilst a steady paycheck is lovely, and again, you know, we've all been there. I've had times where I've been waiting on invoices to be paid or where the stream of clients has not been as steady or as frequent as I would like. And often there have been times where I've thought, right, I'll just go back and I'll look for another HR director job and everything will be fine. But actually inside, I know that's what I don't want to do. And I think if we start to take our eye off the ball then with the businesses that we're creating, that's when we can start to slip a bit further. You know, running any sort of business takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of commitment. It takes, you know, you've got to market, you've got to find new clients. There's a running of the business and everything that you need to do there. And it takes a lot of dedication. So I think it's really, I suppose, about building your resilience levels. So look out for the signs of when you're starting to go into that dark place. And I think a brilliant quote actually that came up when I was studying tribal leadership was that birds flock, fish school, and people tribe. And I think sometimes when we go into that dark place, we can go very internal. We can start pushing people away that are close to us. We can start to shut ourselves away. And we just feel like, you know, it is just happening to us. And asking for help from anybody is some sort of failure. And actually, fundamentally, as people, we work much, much better as a tribe with groups of people. And I think when we look out for the signs and just go with those people, you know, build that safe tribe around you of people that you can go to and say, I'm stuck. Make use of the networks that you have available to you. Ask for help, ask for support. And as I said, just build your resilience levels and try and get back into a much more positive place as quickly as you possibly can do.
Excellent. Now, listeners, if you want to ask Kelly a question, the number is 646-716-7979. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get some feedback. Kelly?
Hello.
You there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, sorry. Now,
that's okay.
you mentioned support base. How mm-hmm. important is it to have a support base?
Massively. Absolutely massively. I think I'm based in the UK, and sometimes asking for help, as I said, is seen as very much of a failure. I think when I speak to people around the world, particularly in the US, they seem to have people to help them with everything. So whether it's a nutritionist, a sports coach, some sort of therapist, a lifestyle coach, a business coach. They seem to have all of those people and then sort of a family and friend network as well. And it's probably really over the last 10 years or so where coaching has started to get any sort of momentum in the UK whatsoever. Obviously, coaches have been around for much, much longer than that. But the fact that it's becoming more common has only started to happen over the last 10 years. I actually read a quick blog that popped into my email yesterday, and I get it from this particular person on a basis, and she'd had the pleasure of meeting two Olympians. Now, she made the point very much so that she had no interest in being an Olympic athlete, that she put in her post that ship had sailed. But actually what she did recognise is athletes of any kind have an enormous support mechanism around them, and they tune into that network to help them get the success that they need. And they know that they need that support around them to help them get to the next level and keep continuing to grow. So I think if more of us can start to recognise, and it doesn't have to be somebody that you're paying for, it doesn't have to be a coach, it doesn't have to be a therapist. If there's somebody in the same field as you that's doing what you want to do, maybe you look at them for inspiration. There are lots of people out there that can help with, you know, from a mentoring perspective. Make use of your friends, make use of your families, make use of, if you are on social media and in any of those groups, then make use of those people to ask questions, to tell people when you've had a good day, to tell people when you're struggling, to ask for that help and support. Because the more we get used to asking for that, I then do think that we get much more back in return, and it just continues to flourish. And all of us can flourish and grow and develop and just become much more positive and much more strong in all of our lives.
Yeah. Now, I know that it's always hard to ask for help, mm-hmm. and we're afraid to be seen as weak. Why is that?
Again, I think it depends on the individual, perhaps on the social circumstances. But I think you really kind of put the nail. I think that a lot of the time, if we do ask for help, and again, I've been here myself many, many times throughout life, that actually if we do ask for help, somebody will think that we are failing or we're not strong enough. And again, I think that comes back to our self-limiting beliefs. And an element really of how the brain works, as I touched on earlier, and why we feel the way we do. So I think when we are interacting with people, when we're interacting positively, when we're acting positively, that's when we tend to have the majority of our social interaction. And when I said sometimes when we feel like we're having those black thoughts and we're, you know, falling into a bit of a black hole, we do tend to hide away. And really that goes right back to, I suppose, sort of early man and tribesmen. So, you know, we'd go into hibernation. We would, you know, if it was cold outside or if it was snowing, we'd curl up in our cave and we wouldn't come out. And a lot of the time, I think we've adjusted that really for modern day life. I suppose we'd call them now duvet days. But we then can start to slip into anxiety or depression. And when we're in that state, there's chemical changes that go on within our brain. And the chemical changes that occur are really part of what fuels our negative thinking. And that's where we allow these voices and these self-limiting beliefs to become even stronger. And the stronger that they become, the less likely we are to ask for help, because that inner voice continues to tell us that we're not good enough, that we're not strong enough, that we are a failure, that we're weak, that we're useless. All of those types of things come. And when we're feeling in that low point, we start to pay much, much more attention to that. So within our brains, I suppose if you could imagine a rugby ball or for sort of any American listeners, sort of an American football, the top part of our brain is what we call the intellectual part of the brain. And the bottom part is what we call our primitive part. Now, if we start to feel at fear or any point, or we kind of go into what's typically known as sort of the fight or flight mode, that kicks in our amygdala. And from that then triggers responses to say, actually, do we fight? And that will come up with an immediate reaction of what we do before we kick into our intellectual brain. Now, if we spend too long in the primitive part of our brain, we're not allowing the intellectual part. So the intellectual part of our brain is what's logical and what's rational. And the primitive part deals much more with emotion. So as our emotions increase and we start to shut down more, we deal with that part of the brain. And the primitive part of the brain is extremely negative. And it then, you know, it starts to become a really, really vicious cycle. Whereas the more we can speak positively and think positively and interact positively and ask for help when it's needed, the more we're operating from the logical part of our brain, which then presents us with the logic, the rational side of things and much more of the creative thinking. But it is that inner voice, and we listen to that much, much more when we're feeling low or when we're feeling fearful of any situation or when we're having those dark thoughts. And unfortunately, it does just become a bit of a vicious circle, which is why, again, it's important to build our resilience and increase our positive thinking as we go through.
Excellent point, Kelly. Now, following from techniques, can we use to create the right mindset and the right attitude?
There are some really simple ones, actually. So journaling can be really, really useful. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but it certainly helps. So just by writing down how we're feeling, whether we've had a good day or whether we've had a bad day, just journaling that and getting it out of our head can put us very, very quickly back into a positive mindset as we start to get things down on paper. I also have what I call a gratitude jar. And I've got a physical one and a virtual one that I keep on my computer. And my gratitude jar is really all the things that I have been grateful for or all the things that I felt really positive or happy about throughout the course of the day. So, sometimes it's only one that goes in, sometimes it's three or four. And it's just a little, sort of jam jar that I put some post-it notes in, write on there during the day, and then pop that in the jar. And actually, if I then am having a bit of a low day, I can take out something that always lifts me up. And I also have a virtual one that I keep on my laptop. So if I get any client testimonials or any positive feedback, store those in a folder in my emails that says positive stuff. Simple as that. But again, if I'm having a bit of a blip or I'm going into those feelings of self-doubt, just clicking on there and reading some of the feedback, some of the testimonials that I've received can give me an instant lift. I also think being aware of our energy levels can have a massive impact on us. So I have what I call energy angels and energy vampires. Now, energy angels are really anything that can be tasks, it can be people, it can be activities that give us energy. And then the vampires are the drainers. So actually people, tasks, or activities that drain us of energy. My big vampire, I have many, many more than this when I was working in HR, but my biggest one is spreadsheets. I absolutely loathe spreadsheets. And I know that if I don't get them done first thing on a Monday morning, I am then likely to procrastinate for the rest of the week and then beat myself up because I haven't done everything that I needed to do. And my angels, I'm extremely lucky to have an amazing support network. So I've got a number of mini triads as part of the tribes that I've created. I've got amazing family, you know, amazing clients, amazing team that I work with. So I'm extremely blessed to have my angels. But it's important to kind of notice that we need a ratio of 3 to 1 angels to vampires. So if you've really had a day full of vampires, then you need probably 3 days to top up your energy levels to make you feel positive again. So that would be another. I then have a really simple exercise, which I call zipping myself up. And it is as weird as it sounds, probably. Just imagine that you've got a zip going from sort of your belly button right up to the top of your head. And again, I was taught this, I don't know, probably 10 years ago when I went to see a hypnotherapist myself. And she said, sometimes you can go into a room, you've pumped yourself up and you're feeling completely energized. And then you walk into a room or you walk into a party, and within 5 minutes, you'll start that inner voice that's telling you you're not good enough or you're not dressed right or nobody will listen to anything that you say kicks in. And you can very quickly feel your energy dwindling. And what she explained to me was that sometimes as people eye us up and down, what they're actually doing is taking some of our energy from us. So she taught me this zip technique. So imagine that you've got a zip sort of at your belly button, and just pull your zip up to your head and keep doing that until you feel an instant lift in your energy. When you feel a lift in your energy, you'll then start to think much more positively. And then I have two others, I think, which I call, again, this is part of my tribal leadership training, but 5 questions that you can ask yourself in the morning before you do anything that really, really set you up for the day. So it's about setting your intentions, and they're called power-up questions. And the 5 questions are, what was the best part about yesterday? What did you learn? What actions do you intend to do today to honor your values? What value do you intend to operate from today? And what will the desired outcome be? And just by asking those 5 questions, it literally takes me a couple of minutes every morning. But I do that as soon as I wake up. Loads and loads of my clients are now using this, but it really helps to set your intentions for the day and also reflect on what you learned from yesterday. Because even if it was the worst day ever, there will be something that you learned from it. And again, something that you can find to be grateful for. So that's really useful. And then I have one more set of questions, which I call, they're called Earn Your Leadership. So EARN. And I do this last thing at night before I go to bed. And the E is about exercise, about attitude. The R is about rejuvenation. And the N is about nutrition. So exercise, how much exercise have you had today? Attitude, have you had a positive attitude or a negative attitude? The rejuvenation part is really anything that you've done to switch your mind off or just allow you to relax. So it could be yoga, it could be walking, it could be watching your favorite TV program, reading a book, having a hot bath, but just anything that really allows you to kind of switch off and recharge. And then obviously nutrition is about the food and the energy that we've put into our bodies throughout the course of the day. So across those 4 areas, you then give yourself a score of 0 to 5 for each area, total that up for the day. It's not about beating yourself up if you've been particularly low, but again, it's about setting your intentions for tomorrow to make sure that it's going to be much more positive. So I think they would be some of the tools and techniques that I would suggest.
Wow. I just learned so much. Now, Kelly, let me ask you a couple of personal questions.
Yes.
The first one is, how do you describe success?
How do I describe success? For me personally, I think for me, it's very much about being able to provide for my family. And that's not necessarily financially. Again, I think when I was working in London, big flashy HR job and a lovely salary, I think I was at a point, and particularly because I'd worked so hard to get there, that I had thought it, you know, potentially it was about how much you could spend, the holidays that you could have and all of those different things. But again, I think over the last few years, I've really reflected. I've got a lot of perspective and just a completely different view on life, really. So in terms of providing, yes, it's about the stability. So, you know, do we have a roof over our head? Are we able to do the things that we enjoy doing? But it's also about being able to provide much more time and being able to provide a listening ear. And really just being able to spend much more time together. So, you know, we have a family meal together every night, which, again, we weren't doing when I was commuting to London every day. We have breakfast in the mornings, which, again, we weren't doing when I was commuting to London every day. So I think it's just about providing, I suppose, more of me to my sons to allow them to then be the best that they can be. And they go into their exams next year. So, again, just knowing that I can be here much more for them to provide support or time or help with revision or homework or any of those sorts of things. That for me is about the success.
Absolutely. I can absolutely relate to that, because ever since I went into business for myself, I have been able to spend so much more time with my son. Mm-hmm. And we've just created such a great relationship and a very strong bond. So, yeah, time with your loved ones is so, so important.
Yeah. It's a good thing to, it's a really good thing to be able to do.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the other question I have is, what is happiness to you?
What is happiness to me? I think I have a number of different definitions for that, really. I think it's about those around me being happy makes me happy. But again, I think, as I mentioned earlier, having much more self-compassion for myself and not beating myself up as much as I used to. I always used to strive for perfection in everything, and then I think realise that there's no such thing as perfect. So I think it's really just about being kinder to myself, looking after myself more, and then just being able to do that for those around me. And if I see, you know, my kids laughing, clients developing, being able to spend much more time at home, being able to work flexibly, that for me is really about the happiness.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, Kelly, you have a free ebook for our listeners.
I do.
Can you tell us where we can find it?
Yes. So I think the link is available on my website, and I can also make sure that I send the link across to you or post it on your Facebook page.
Excellent. And what is this ebook about?
So the ebook, it incorporates some of the things that I've mentioned on the call today, really, but it's just kind of 10 tips and strategies for creating a happier, healthier and wealthier lifestyle. So it incorporates, you know, what we need to do to relax, and it looks at sort of identifying our purpose, identifying who we are and identifying our strengths. So it's a very different take on that, really. But within that, it does ask, I suppose, some quite deep and powerful questions. But again, I think by looking inside ourselves and identifying the resources that we have available, that's where I believe that happiness starts from, rather than looking for it externally or by material possessions. It's very much about looking internally. So that's where it starts. And so just 10 top tips and strategies for a happier and healthier lifestyle.
Very good. Very good. I will make absolutely sure that I share it with our amazing group, and we will also put it in the show notes, and we'll share it with all our listeners.
Thank you very much.
If anyone wants to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Yep, so they can contact me on my website. So that's www.kellyfryer.co.uk, or drop me a line really on Skype. So I am on Skype and I am kelly.fryer80, so that's 80.
Excellent. And do you have any other social channels that our listeners can follow you on?
I do indeed. So I've got my Twitter account and I'm at kellyfryer1. I'm also on Facebook, and on there I am Kelly Fryer, Mindset Coach and Hypnotherapist. And I'm also on Google Plus and LinkedIn, and on both of those I'm just under Kelly Fryer.
Excellent, Kelly. Thank you so much for staying up so late.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely.
And yes, I hope we can have another chat at another show. Maybe we will take one topic and we will really, really delve into it.
Yes,
But for now, thank you so much. And
thank you so much.
I'll see you in cyberspace.
Yeah, take care, Monica. Thanks ever so much.
Bye, Kelly.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed my fiery chat with Kelly. She's amazing and she can help you with your mindset. Now, to finish off, here's my tip for today. No matter where in the world you are, no matter what your life looks like at the moment, no matter what you do for a day job, with the right mindset, you can escape the 9-to-5 rat race and create an amazing location independent business. And if you want to join my vibrant community of other location independent entrepreneurs, please join my Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/location independent entrepreneur, or visit my website luggageandlaptop.com and drop me a line. Now, thank you very much for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want, I can be what I want.